Cecilia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Cecilia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your question up, you're welcome to do it, 844-707-5533. Welcome to the second hour here of Financial Issues. Welcome to all of you joining the program. We sure do appreciate. Glad you're here. Well, let's get a look at where we are in the markets right now. And as we look, the NASDAQ turned positive. The NASDAQ way off its lows, but nonetheless still down a half of 1%. And the S&P is only down about a quarter of 1%. So stocks extend their slide right now anyway. We'll see if that continues. Yesterday was an ugly day. It was an ugly day from a number of fronts, not because of the market only, but just because of, you know, what happened and why it happened. It should have happened. No, it shouldn't have. We've got major banks now, are being suspected of collusion in the EU bond rigging probe with Deutsche Bank. So I'm just trying to see. So Deutsche Bank and Credit Suisse, I know, obviously are a couple of the major banks. And I don't, let's see. Deutsche Bank, Bank of America, France Credit Bank. So it looks like right now the only American bank is Bank of America, but look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're all doing business in America, all the American banks doing business in Europe, and probably this whole EU bond rigging probe has got something to do with a lot of the banks. So, you know, we don't have bank stocks listed. There are some that are biblically responsible. They're not listed either. We do have one or two very small community banks that are publicly traded, but that's about it. Banks hold the record for me. And it's almost hard to believe. But there's three things that I've never had on my buy list or my broad list ever. And so I'm, I don't know, 35 years. So I did make an exception about 7 or 8 years ago on one of the areas. I've never had airline stocks. I've never had banks, and I never had retail. Now, I have a couple retailers on my broad list. I won't say the names because people are saying, oh, he's recommending you're going to run out and buy it. They're not on my buy list, so I'm not even going to say their names, but I have a couple retailers. But, you know, that's about it. And like I said, a couple community banks. So it was a huge, huge difference for me. Back in 2008, it was a big difference for me in 1999-2000. It was a big difference for me in 1985. So it was really great. It kind of saved me from a lot of issues in a number of fronts. So I've really got issues. I sound way too critical and harsh, even somewhat mean-spirited, if I talk about why I don't have banks, so I won't talk about it. But I don't have banks. That's one of those private conversations that I'll have someday with maybe some of you. But anyway. Now we look at some more trouble on the horizon, possibly with the banks, as at the same time we're watching the S&P just turn positive. The Dow's ready to, it looks like. It's only down slightly. And we've got the NASDAQ that is up a third of 1%. So a little bit more optimistic. Mortgage rates hit a three-month low, with home buyers watching and waiting, or at least it would seem that way after the existing home numbers came out yesterday, which were very strong. So mortgage rates going to a three-month low is definitely a help from an economic perspective, from an economy perspective. Oil gaining a little bit of strength. That's good. Gold is losing. Dollar is continuing to weaken. So we'll see what commodities do. And we have our commodity report coming up here. So gold is hovering right around about a five-month high right now, as which is kind of odd, because when the Federal Reserve raises rates, that makes the dollar more valuable. So the increase, the value of the dollar goes up. When the dollar, the value goes up, gold goes down. It's not doing that this morning. And gold is looks like it's roughly or very close to a five-month high. By the way, we saw Norwegian Corona. They raised their rate. The Bank of England did not. Asia markets mixed at the close. So some banks getting a little energy from what the Fed did in a positive way. Hey, we'll be right back.
This is Craig Hogarden with your Financial Issues Ag Update. Well, corn prices were on the defensive Wednesday in response to the recent slowdown in ethanol production and reported plant closures. Weekly ethanol production held steady for the week at 1,046,000 barrels produced per day, while stocks increased by 1 million up to 23.9 million barrels. Ethanol stocks are now 7% larger than year-ago numbers. In the overnight trade, spot corn futures are trading a half cent higher. Soybean prices drifted lower yesterday despite the second round of Chinese buying. Their buying pace so far has been a disappointment to the trade, in large part because it's not been enough to erase the idea that we're going to have a gigantic carryout of soybeans. The weather outlooks for South America provide additional pressure on the bean market, as it looks as if rains will come to central Brazil, while Argentina sees a drier pattern for this weekend and into next week. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading up a penny and a half. Wheat prices were lower on profit-taking, ample supplies of global stocks, and waning hopes of improving export demand. If we look at export commitments to date, it would appear as if the U.S. is on pace to fall short of the USDA's export projections by over 100 million bushels. Looking at the former Soviet Union, it appears as if fears of damage to the winter wheat crop from cold weather in Russia has been partially reduced by good snow cover in many areas. While in Ukraine, the ag minister announced that 90% of their winter wheat crop is in good to excellent condition. Toss in a Russian ruble that appears to be falling apart against the U.S. dollar, and it looks as if we could continue to struggle in the export market. In the overnight trade, Chicago, Kansas City, and Minneapolis are all trading up a nickel. From a technical perspective, March cotton futures had a real bad day yesterday, as they closed down $1.14, settling at $76.71. Looking for an area of support, I'll be really interested to see how this market acts right around the $76.50 level. That was the recent low price set back on October 1st. If that fails to hold, the daily continuation chart makes it appear as if we should see some additional support in the spot cotton futures at that $75 level. In the overnight trade, spot cotton futures are trading unchanged. Livestock futures had a very uninspiring session yesterday. February live cattle ended the session 32.5 cents lower, while January feeder cattle were unchanged. Lean hogs basically ran on a treadmill as well, with February lean hogs putting in a solid day of trading, only end up a mere nickel higher than they had been the previous day. Class 3 milk futures slipped yesterday, with January futures closing 13 points lower at 14.18. And in the overnight trade, we have Class 3 January milk futures trading unchanged. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were 98 cents lower at $2.11.70, while selects were 12 cents higher for the day as they settled at $2.04.85. In hogs, the pork carcass values closed $2.23 lower for the day, settling at $69.77.
The AFA Journal is the monthly magazine of the American Family Association.
The mission of the AFA Journal is to motivate people to get involved in issues around their community and around their state and nation.
We want people to go out and actually do something, to become involved in their community. People who read the journal take the magazine, they hand it to friends, they hand it to neighbors, they hand it to people at work.
If you'd like to get the AFA Journal, simply go to afajournal.org. You can sign up for a one-year free subscription.
He made me come, but I loved it.
The town hall meeting with Dan Celia is a place where you're going to find out information that you won't get anywhere else. Honestly, he's the only person that I can really trust with any kind of financial advice.
I believe that Dan is really speaking from the heart. I think that he has definitely done the research and he understands what's going on, not only with the finances, but with the country in general.
I think young people should care about finance because right now we are in $18 trillion in debt, and that's not my parents' debt, that's my debt now.
The team that comes with him is awesome, and you get a chance to actually meet everybody.
And he has a really good presentation. He's very winsome and very engaging.
Definitely take his knowledge and then go out and do something with it.
Hi, I'm Dan Celia from Financial Issues. I hope you can join us for one of our upcoming town hall meetings. It's a lot of fun, it's free, and I know you'll enjoy it. I hope you'll register today.
Our faith and values shouldn't be compromised by the way we invest. Our faith and values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
Knowing that God is answering our prayers, bringing healing and providing for our needs.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do that. We will go to phones. We've got a couple of hours here, an hour and 45 minutes. We'll stay with phones. We'll continue to do that. We'll watch the markets. We'll check back with them a little bit later. So right now, we'll stick with phones. We'll see what... And again, keep an eye on markets. A lot of things happening. President Trump tweeting, not hearing any comments about anything that is happening with the Federal Reserve. Good information, good numbers coming out of the economy. It looks like the mortgage rates are down. That's going to be good. I'm sure that was good news for the markets. I think the markets will digest the fact that maybe this Fed chairman will be more dovish in 2019. It's not as good as we would have liked it to be. Not as good that he didn't keep rates low and not raise rates now. But he did. He raised the rates. So now all markets have is to hang on what his projections are, which, by the way, are they move with the wind. And everybody knows that. That's what the Fed does. So we'll see. We'll see if there can be we'll see what happens at the end of the day. I think it's going to be very telling to see what the markets do here by the end of the day. And we'll watch that and talk about it, of course, tomorrow. All right, let me go to phones. Let me go to Lou. Lou is calling us from Alabama. Hey, Lou. Lou? Okay, we don't have Lou. Let me try to go to Chris. Chris calling us from Washington. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Dan. I'm going to be 65 in May, and I've been following you since I've been 62, and I really appreciate the care and prayer that you put into your work. And what my situation is, I'm conflicted about my portfolio because I'm following the income. My mom lives with me now, and I don't work. and I've been following the income model for a while, but I'm thinking that, I don't know, I've got almost 20% in an annuity for AFA, and well, it's not AFA, it's a charitable gift annuity, though, and I don't know where to put that, for one thing, if I want to put it in a fixed income or cash. I mean, it messes it up anyway, wherever I put it.
Well, it's not a charitable gift annuity, then. If you have options to put it somewhere, it's...
No. I mean in my portfolio allocation model.
Oh, you don't know where to put the money into... Okay, I got you. Yeah, I mean, it technically is, you know, creating income. It's cash creating income. And because there's no volatility to it, in other words, because it's not going to vary, it's not going to go up, it's not going to go down, it's not going to change, then I would put that in cash. And the way you put that in cash, I have this explained somewhere there on the website, is to use that very first cash position on my buy list. Doesn't change. It's just constant. It's the only thing static on my buy list. So, which isn't... Yeah, I don't want you to... You obviously can't put money in that. That's not what I'm saying. Because it is just a way to track it. So you would use that symbol. You put in whatever you put into the charitable gift annuity. And, you know, a dollar a share. And at least it'll keep it tracked for you, you know, on the portfolio manager.
But that really...
I don't know if I explained that good. But
right, but it really overinflates the cash position.
It does. Yes, it does. Yeah, it does. It overinflates the cash position. I would put it in there and now and recognize how much it overinflates it. So say it overinflates it by, you know, 10%. I would just understand that is going to be your new normal on your portfolio.
Okay.
And wouldn't concern it. It doesn't take away from the liquid cash position that you should have. In other words, I wouldn't want you to put it in there and say, that is my cash position. It isn't.
Right.
And it's important to note that that's not, I don't want that to be considered as cash. I just want you to have that in there as a reminder that you're getting income off that piece. But...
Gotcha.
It's not cash. Don't compromise the real cash position that you're supposed to have in your portfolio.
Okay. So my question about that is then, I have compromised it in that I have about, maybe 9% cash, and I'm overrated a little bit in preferred and under in utilities, and I am a little bit over in energy, but I could sell my one, it's E53 in my individual brokerage and take that loss, because that's 50% down. I don't know if I should do that or just leave it and just leave my cash position like it is now and wait it out or...
No, I would leave it for now and try to make up for it. I mean, I don't want you to sell the preferreds to fix that, because that's going to put you in a losing situation with the preferreds in all likelihood. And I don't want that to happen, because that is a totally unnecessary loss, because you'll get that money. But I don't want you to do that. So all I can say to you is, you know, maybe the monies that you're generating from the income, it will start to build back up your cash position, which will start to, you know, increase the amount in your portfolio and bring everything into balance. The real problem is when the few of the positions that you have that are down considerably, when they start to rally back up, now you're going to really be overinflated. But at least at that point, you'll have something which is profitable or near profitability that you can sell and adjust your cash position. But I would wait until then before you do anything.
Okay. And then I was thinking that I worry about the future, and I'm just wondering, I am using the income, so I definitely should be in the income. But I did buy a few things within the allocation model that look more like growth, because I'm thinking I'm going to live a long time, hopefully. And so, you know, yeah, for later. Yeah. So I kind of worry about that. And also, I'll be 90 when I pay off my house. So I'm just wondering, it's only at 3.25%. So I don't think I should pay off my house.
No, I don't think you should pay off your house if it's not burdensome to pay the payment. I wouldn't pay it off. The other thing is that yes, you've got to stick right now with what you have. Some of those growth things that you bought, I hope, are growth and income, right? So they're paying an income.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. So yeah, I mean that's a great thing to have. Even that one that's down is paying an income, and so you're getting paid. You're making money to wait for it to come back up. And because you're an income portfolio investor, again, I go back and you know where I'm going with this. You don't care about what the value is. Of course we care, but you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we should worry about. What we worry about is things that are going to create losses of our income. And that's not happening yet. And that's the important thing. So your money that you originally invested into all those things is working for you as you intended it to work for you. In other words, it is creating income. And that income, right now, the income appears to be a little bit more than it might have been when you started because it's, you know, calculated on a smaller number as the values of those companies go down. But you're achieving everything that you wanted to achieve. And the upside is, I'm just trying to make you feel comfortable, but the upside is you're achieving everything that you wanted to achieve, and you're doing that in the worst of markets. You know what I mean? So it's a great thing because you haven't lost your opportunity that you will get back in having that growth explode. And things get back to normal and then some. And maybe it's 2 years from now, maybe it's 2 months from now, whenever. But it's going to happen and you're going to be in a very good position. So, and in the meantime, you get to plug along with your strategy working perfectly and receiving the income that you need.
Okay.
That's what's important.
Mm-hmm. And one other question, I mean, what do you think about like cryptocurrencies? And that kind of thing. Do you think there's going to be a big change?
No.
Okay. Not for some time, anyway.
Not something to ever consider as an income investor, ever to consider at all as anybody. It's very, very speculative. It's on the verge. It almost was on the verge of bankruptcy 2 weeks ago. And it's just not something that you should be considering.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you so much, Dan. And you have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Chris. God bless. You know, so don't ever, folks, and this is the time of an economy that I worry about these things. You want to make up what you've lost in your stocks? I have the perfect answer for you. Wait it out. Wait it out. Listen. If you are a hurry up, if you've been like, I got to make money and I got to make it now, then you should not have been investing in anything long term. And if you were investing in long term and now it's down and you're concerned, then you need to rethink whether you can be an investor. I mean, this is a gut check. This is a time that we look at those things. But you heard what I just explained to Chris. Think about this. Think about this. If you had a portfolio where you started and you set out to earn income to supplement your income, and you did all the right things like Chris did, and you're now earning this additional income, and we have had some of the worst economies that we've seen in a long time, markets, I mean, not economies, economy's great, market times, and you're still making that income and nothing has wavered or changed, you're still making your income, why do you care about anything else? Who cares? Who cares what happens? You got good positions. You're going to be fine. But hey, 3 years ago, I said I'm going to have an income portfolio to supplement my income. And all of a sudden, I got this 6% income. and I'm doing fine. I'm supplementing my...
It may have been a messy divorce that suddenly cut your income in half, but not your bills. It might have been an injury or illness or your boss just cutting back your hours. It doesn't really matter how you got in over your head. It only matters that you are and that we're here to help. If you've got over $10,000 in credit card debt and you can't ever see breaking free, then call Action Debt and do it now. Being in over your head is a vicious cycle. One day late, they charge you a late fee. Miss a payment, they double your rate. You just don't think it's fair and neither do we. This is not bankruptcy or just a simple rate reduction plan. We fight for you using our proven experience and the insider programs that credit card companies try to hide. If you owe at least $10,000 to the credit card companies, you owe it to yourself to call Action Debt at 800-384-7099. Just because you got in over your head doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. Call 800-384-7099 today and we can be on your side tomorrow. 800-384-7099. 800-384-7099.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here with a super important holiday message from KFC. No more gifts. Your family and friends just want you to buy them one of my KFC $5 fill-ups. They're packed full of Kentucky Fried Chicken, mashed potatoes, a biscuit, cookie, and a drink. It's the thought that counts, and the thought is that they're hungry. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
Money God's way. You know, I think we ought to have Christmas music as bumpers all year long. It's kind of neat. When I hear the first two notes, I immediately get focused on Christmas. Kind of brings me down to earth and reality. It reminds me that we have a sovereign God that we depend on. It reminds me that the Father loved us so much that He sent His Son. Yes, we celebrate the birthday, but He sent His Son so that we might be delivered because of Easter. And it reminds us of that. It reminds us of our salvation, the free gift this Christmas that we have accepted. It does keep things, or should anyway, keep things in perspective, that is for sure. So I'm going to go to calls, 844-707-5533. Before I do that, President Trump 5 minutes ago just tweeted out, "When I begrudgingly sign the omnibus bill, I was promised," this was, you know, earlier in the year, "I was promised the wall and border security by leadership." This was Republican leadership, by the way. He's the leader of the Republican Party. I'm just throwing that out there. Would be done by the end of this year. Now, it didn't happen. We foolishly fight for border security for other countries, but not our beloved USA. Not good. Mr. President, I would say this to you. It's not foolish to fight for border security for other countries that inevitably will be in the best interest of our security here in the United States. We always have to be about the business of building allies. That is for certain. But you, of all people, should have figured out by now, because you are cut from a similar cloth that I'm cut from, that you are living, operating, and working in a Washington that can't do more than one thing at a time. They have no ability of multitasking. They have no ability of juggling more than one ball. They can't be negotiating with leaders from around the world on their border security at the same time being concerned in doing border security here. They're not capable of doing that. They're politicians. They're not business people from New York City or Philadelphia. They're politicians. They can't do it. You should know that. So, foolish as they are, we can only fight, this would have been a better way to put it, foolish as they are, we can only fight for border security in other countries. Not that we shouldn't be, but it's all we're capable of doing. Because, God forbid, we should have more than one plate up in the air at one time. We don't possess those skills, those juggling skills, those abilities to compartmentalize one project. See, I thought we were a leadership body in Congress that was made up of various committees, and that those various committees had authority to move certain things forward. If we didn't have leadership of Kevin Brady in the House Ways and Means Committee, we would not have tax reform, because we would not have been able to do that at the same time we did some of the other things that we did, right? That's how it's supposed to work. I don't like saying this because I'm a supporter of the president. Mr. President, the wall not getting done this year is your fault. You're the leader of the party. You're the leader of the party. You're the leader of the free world. If it doesn't get done, it's the fault of the Republican Party. Not the Democrats. Not Schumer. Not Pelosi. But Mitch McConnell. Paul Ryan. And President Trump. So here we go. You will in a day be signing a continued resolution. You shouldn't sign it. See, if you think it's not good, as you said here, that we aren't thinking of our beloved USA, if you believe that, if you truly think that, don't sign the continued resolution. Don't allow it to happen. Take the power away from Mitch McConnell. Take the power away from the House. Take the power away. Make a decision. I have the right not to sign that or agree with it. Take it away and be done with it. So it doesn't help to put a tweet out about our beloved USA when you are the leader of our beloved USA. Do you understand? It's like the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, trying to calm the markets by sounding dovish at the very same time he's raising interest rates. It's just, it doesn't work. It's Jerome Powell that loses credibility. He even loses more credibility for being naive and thinking it was going to work. All right, let me go to phones. Let me go to Jose in Virginia. Jose.
Good morning. Good morning, Dan. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. What is the impact to our economy if we index $125 billion a year?
Oh, darn. Try it again, Jose. You're breaking up.
Okay. If we inject $125 billion a year to our economy, would that be a good impact or almost nothing?
No, I mean,
to our economy.
It would be a good... It really depends. Whenever you look at the injection of dollars, let me give you a perfect example. When we bring money, repatronize dollars that are overseas, so a company repatronizes those dollars and brings them into the American economy, forget about the $4 trillion, just $1 trillion of that would have a dramatic positive impact on the economy. If it is spent in the right areas. If it's spent in the right areas. So whether it's $125 billion or a trillion, it has a positive impact if it's used to positively impact the economy. So it's got to be used in the right ways. It really doesn't answer your question, I guess, specifically. But yes, can it have an impact? Yes, is a better way to put it. Can that have an impact? Yes, it certainly can. Will it is a whole nother story, because if it's left to politicians, then God only knows whether it will or not.
I'm asking this question because every single year we lose $125 billion to Mexico due to the Mexicans sending money to Mexico every single year in that amount. So that's against our economy, and nobody is talking about that.
Yeah, you make a very, very good point. You know what they talk about? They talk about, this is what the left talks about. The left talks about that they are paying Social Security tax and not collecting, so that's a good thing. The right says they are taking jobs away from people that can work, but they don't talk about the fact that on top of all that, whatever side you believe, they are sending billions of dollars back home. They're not putting it to work in our economy. They are, I mean, obviously certain things they have to. They got to eat and they got to buy clothes and things like that. But for the most part, they're putting that money over to the Mexican economy. So you've just outlined the reason why past Mexican administrations, I don't know about this new administration yet, but past Mexican administrations have been encouraging their citizens to cross the border. Inevitably it helps them and their economy. Is that right?
Exactly right. And that's the we never hear that angle on this discussion, and I don't know why.
Yes,
but I think it's worth taking a look at that, because it's so important.
It's right, and I'm guilty of not having that discussion as much as anybody. I know it, I understand it, but I don't talk enough about it. We should try to talk more about that, because it is a very important issue, and we need our politicians to factor that in when they're talking about illegal immigration.
Exactly right. Thank you very much,
Jose.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you. I appreciate your comments. Thank you so much. I'm glad you called and weighed in. Folks, we'll be right back after this. 844-707-5533. 844.
I pray that I can be a great role model for him. I pray that in these trying times, that I can lead him in a way that I know will leave a godly imprint on his heart forever.
And I have to show her how to live a life that is pure. I want her to understand how precious life is and to take
care of his body. To eat right and exercise and understand that his body is a temple of God.
I pray that our family will love Jesus, read his word daily, and obey his teaching.
The values that we share should guide us in the way that we invest. Make sure that you are investing in companies whose policies and practices align with pro-life, pro-family values. Visit thetimothyplan.com or call for more information. Advance the kingdom in the way that you invest.
You like business content? I mean, if you didn't like business content, you wouldn't be listening to this show, right? What if I can give you even more of what you like? Now, we've never met, but I'm willing to bet you are very busy. Between your work, family, and outside commitments, this little car ride is your time to catch up on your favorite show. But do you always get to tune in? Exactly. Well, now there's a business club with you in mind. BizVod is the place for business videos on demand. We have partnered with this show to provide you more of the content you like. The best part? It's all on demand. That means you can log in anytime from any device and watch shows that answer all of your business questions. For a limited time, you can try it for free for 30 days. Simply go to bizvod.com and enter promo code radio. That's BIZVOD.com, promo code radio.
Shares your values and beliefs. Christian Community Credit Union. Your money building God's kingdom.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533, Financial Issues. If you got a question or you're worried about your portfolio, I bet you are. Listen, if you are a partner of the ministry, I hope you're going to be on our conference call today at 12:15 Eastern Time. I hope you'll be with us, 12:15 Eastern Time. Make sure that you are with us. We sure would appreciate you being there, and I think you will as well. Now listen, if you are a partner and you are concerned about missing it, you don't have to be. Maybe you're a new partner. Look, we put the recording of it up on the partner side of the website. So it'll be there, I'm going to say, by 3 o'clock this afternoon. It'll be on there. You can watch it. You can listen to it when you get home. You can listen to it in the morning with your coffee or whatever. But you'll be able to hear it. So it's not critically important. So the time is not that concerning to me anymore. So that's why I'm doing it. And it was the only time I could do it before Christmas, and I wanted to get it in. So it's an important conference call. I hope you'll be on it. I hope you'll listen to it if you're a partner. I also want to mention to you, which I forgot earlier, but I want to continue to do that. You guys have to pay real close attention to Financial Issues, our app on our phone, FISM.TV. That's not 100% right now. I got three emails yesterday about people, you know, well, I was playing an old show. I don't know what the deal was, but we're working through it. We're moving to a different studio. We're doing a lot of different things. So it's kind of hard, but it will be by the middle or by the end of January. But I tell you that YouTube channel, Facebook channel, Apple TV, Amazon TV, so many options for you to see and hear or hear this program. Don't forget, of course, financialissues.org. Plenty of opportunities. It's critically important that you remember that, because next year it would appear as though that we are going to be losing some stations, on our own doing. So you don't have to call the station and say, why did you take them off the air? We're taking ourselves off the air in a number of areas, probably, unless something dramatic happens. So if you're one of those areas, you're going to lose the program. And if that is the case, you want to know where you can stay with us. We have thousands and thousands of people. I'll tell you, we had a network out in the Midwest, a large network that we were on. We now have thousands of those people from that network that used to listen to us way back when we were on that network, that have found us on Facebook or a phone app because they stay connected via our newsletter, and they found out, and they're so grateful that they're able to hear the show every day. So now, some of them, for 3 hours a day, they're not listening to that network that I used to be on. They're listening to the program because they found the program. It's a wonderful thing. So there is no reason, just because we go off on a particular station, there's no reason for you to be without financial issues. We've got plenty of outlets out there for you to hear the program. And we hope that you will do that. It's important, as you know. I don't have to tell you that. So good stuff. All right, let me go to Nancy. Nancy's calling us from Alabama. Hey, Nancy.
Hi, Dan. I wanted to add a little something to the discussion about raising money for the wall. Mark Levine covered that at great length last night on his program. And I would urge everybody that's interested in that to go to his website or to his website and see what he has to say about that. We're not a democracy. We are a republic, a constitutional republic. Right. And there's so many legalities involved in building a wall. There's property has to be bought and on and on. And only the government can do that. So if we were to raise a lot of money, and we find out there's nothing we can do with it, except say, hey, look, we've done this. What do you do with the money then? Does that money need to be returned to the people who have contributed?
I think the notion of raising money is to go to the Treasury Department and say, we've got the money, and we're going to give it to you. Build the wall.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I think that's the idea, and that's the thought do that. Not to go around the government to build a wall. I don't think that is the intention at all to do that because of those legalities that you've already mentioned. Yep. Great point. Thank you for that. I appreciate it, Nancy. Good stuff. Thank you. Let me go to who else? You know what I got to do? I should check, which I haven't done, and I apologize. I've been really remiss in this. So let me just check and see Facebook. I'm sure we've got some questions on there. Paul's asking about a particular, on Facebook, Paul's asking about CD47 is joining a boycott of Tucker Carlson for recent statements concerning immigration. What is my opinion? I don't have an opinion about that because I really don't care what that company's doing in reference to joining that boycott. I'm not going to take somebody off the list because they're boycotting Tucker. I like Tucker too, but I'm not going to take them off my list. And they're not going to become biblically irresponsible for that purpose. So, look, I disagree with the stand they're taking, but I can tell you, there's not more than 30 of the 250 companies on my list that I don't disagree with something on about a particular stand they may be taking. I've got to keep it real, and the only thing I can do is say, look, how are you making your money, and what are you spending my money on? If I'm a stockholder, I own that money. What are you spending my money on? So, they're the kinds of things that we're looking at. They're just a few, but a couple things. But, yeah, interesting. And I did hear something about that. Jared is saying, I'm a partner. I thought I saw a few weeks ago CS25 as a sell but it's still on your broad list. So, yes, you're supposed to hold it if you didn't sell it. You were supposed to sell it, but if you didn't, then yes, you hold it. Just because something's on a sell list doesn't, when something's on, goes off the buy list, it doesn't make them something you don't hold. When something goes on the sell list, I mean, it's still going to be on my broad list, but you should own it. You should have sold it. So if you still, it doesn't make it no longer biblically responsible, but everything that is, now there are times when we put things on the sell list where they are no longer biblically responsible. So if they're no longer biblically responsible, then, you know, then they go off the broad list. But I say that in the email, and I tell everybody to sell. So would it be okay to dollar cost average down in it? I get, of course, it keeps going lower. That's why I had it on the sell list. Listen, I didn't just put it on the sell list. I put it on a sell list, and I said, sell it and replace it with this stock.